The recording that you're about to listen to is a talk from the City Bible Forum. We would appreciate you respecting our copyright by not making copies of this talk or altering the content in any way. We hope that you find the material beneficial. If you would like more information on the City Bible Forum, you can visit us on the web at citybibleforum.org.
Thanks, Russ. Well, g'day everyone. Like Russ said, my name's Lachlan. I work for a company called, City Bible Forum. At City Bible Forum, we're all about wanting people to ask the bigger questions. We want to get people thinking about the questions of life, meaning, purpose, and particularly considering how the Bible might have something to say to those big issues. We regularly run a Bible talk here on Thursdays at lunchtime. We'll be finishing for the month of April, but we'll be back in May, and Russ will mention a little bit more about that at the end. Just a couple little things about me. Like Russ said, my name's Lachlan, and I actually enjoy sitting down with people and finding out more about what people believe about the world and how it works, and actually having good, deep discussions. Today is probably a little bit more me talking to you, but if you're interested in talking about what you believe and why, I'd love to sit down, grab a coffee with you sometime. So please come and grab me afterwards, or let us know by the feedback form. Well, we're almost there. The Easter long weekend is nearly upon us, only a few more hours to go. You can have 4 days of not working. Summer holidays feels to me like a long time ago, and I am hanging out for some rest. And I particularly like the Easter break. It just doesn't feel as pressured as Christmas. There's lots of good food to enjoy. You can have fun relaxing with friends or family. I was chatting with Stephen earlier, and he reminded me that it's daylight savings on the weekend as well, so you get an extra hour of sleep. So it's an even longer weekend than it normally is. So, we are winning. There's lots of good things to do around town over the Easter long weekend as well. There's some classics like the Sydney Royal Easter Show, where you can enjoy carnival rides, where you can enjoy your show bags. You can, of course, enjoy the wood shop. And there is the Easter show animals. And you can't get much cuter than a bunny rabbit jumping over a hurdle. I'd be pretty impressed if I got to see that when I go to the show on Monday? One of the days on the weekend. If there are small people in your life, if you've got kids around, you might have an Easter egg hunt planned over the weekend. If you've got less of a sweet tooth and a bit more of a savoury tooth like me, you might be looking forward to having a hot cross bun or two. There's lots of ways that you can celebrate Easter. And what's not to like about it? It's an extra long weekend. It's at the start of autumn. Weather is still nice and mild. And for some reason, there's chocolate. It's pretty good. But for most Sydney-siders, that's about the limit of what Easter is. It's an extra long weekend with chocolate. It's nice, sure, but let's not make too much of it. Why would you want to make more of a fuss about Easter? But people who do follow Jesus actually have a different take on Easter. We actually want to say Easter is a big deal, and in fact, everyone should be making a fuss. So today we're going to spend the next 15 to 20 minutes answering the question, Easter, why is it worth the fuss? So today's talk, it's a chance to maybe get some clarity or refresh your understanding about what Easter is and why people who follow Jesus make such a fuss about Easter. There's going to be two main parts to today's talk. Firstly, why do some people make such a fuss about Easter? And secondly, why everyone should consider making a fuss about Easter. So part one, why do some people make such a fuss about Easter? We're going to be looking at the what of Easter. We're going to be sketching a picture of what followers of Jesus think are the key things to know about Jesus. And there's three things that we're going to be going over today. Firstly, Jesus died shamefully as a criminal. Secondly, that he died purposely for a ransom. And thirdly, that it was for our sin. Jesus died shamefully as a criminal, but purposefully as a ransom for our sin. Firstly, Jesus died shamefully as a criminal. It's easy to miss in the midst of all the Easter advertising around the place with bunnies and eggs and chocolate. But for Christians, Easter celebrates when Jesus died the shameful death of a guilty rebel. The key part of this, the story of Jesus, it's printed on the inside of your handout on the left-hand side of the page, and I put some of the main parts we're alluding to today in bold. But the water of Easter, it's actually pretty straightforward, and it's right there at the end of that passage, verse 37, small number 37, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. Jesus died. But he didn't just die. When we read the historical account of Jesus' death, we see that Jesus died a shameful death, the shameful death of a guilty person. Jesus was crucified. It's there in verse 24, towards the top of the page. It says, and they crucified him. Now, in Jesus' day, the Romans used crucifixion as a punishment for crimes like high treason, perceived threats to Roman rule, and sedition against the empire. And this is exactly what Jesus was charged with. Verse 26, small number 26, the written notice of the charge against him read, the King of the Jews. Jesus died as a guilty person. But it wasn't just a horrible death, it was also a shameful death. Crucifixion was a shameful way to die. Cicero, the ancient Roman historian, he wrote about crucifixion and said it was the most disgusting and cruel penalty in which victims died in pain and agony and suffered the worst extreme of the tortures inflicted on slaves. And in addition to the shame of crucifixion, while he was being crucified, Jesus was insulted by those who passed by, the religious leaders, and even others who were being crucified with him. Jesus' death was shameful. That's point one about why Jesus' followers make a big fuss about Easter. Jesus died shamefully as a criminal. Now, the idea of celebrating people who've died tragically for a worthy cause, that's not really a strange concept for us. In Australia, for example, every 25th of April, which is not far off now, Australians celebrate Anzac Day, a day we stop and remember people who've died in our armed forces. But Easter is a little bit different to Anzac Day. The men and women who died in our defence forces didn't plan to die, but Jesus did. Well before Jesus was nailed to the cross, Jesus started telling his followers that dying was central to his mission. We're going to blitz through a couple of passages that where we see Jesus teaching this. Earlier in Mark's account of Jesus' life, Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man, which is a title he uses for himself, must suffer many things, and in highlighted there in yellow, and he must be killed. Or a little bit later in chapter 9, because he was teaching his disciples, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered over to the hands of men. They will kill him. Or again, because he was teaching his disciples, he said, we're going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests, who flog him and kill him. Jesus' death was planned. It was central to his mission. We're used to honouring people who die tragically, but Jesus' followers celebrate the death that Jesus died, which he'd planned for. And it's actually because Jesus said his death was going to have a purpose. He put it this way, and this passage is in your handout. It's on the top right-hand page. Jesus said, for even the Son of Man, that title he used for himself, did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus said he came to die as a ransom. And we should be familiar with the idea of what a ransom is. For example, about this time last year, Somali pirates captured an oil tanker and its crew off the coast of Somalia, and they demanded a ransom for their release. We're used to the idea of a ransom. It's the price you pay for the release of a captive or a prisoner. Usually we think about it in terms of kidnapping or something like that. But actually, the scope of the word is bigger. It's the price that you can also pay for the release of people who've been imprisoned justly, for crimes or for their debts. That's the way that the word was used in the ancient world. Jesus said he's come to die as a ransom. So in thinking about our question, why do some people make a fuss about Easter? We've seen, well, Jesus died shamefully as a criminal, but purposefully as a ransom. And point three builds on point two. He died for our sin. In any story, there's a problem that needs to be solved. And in the story of the Bible, in the Christian worldview, that problem is sin. It's one of those words that can be a little bit tricky to grasp the meaning of. You know, we can see it when people do something that's wrong or shameful, like theft or lying or murder. But Jesus said it goes deeper than our actions. Jesus said sin is at the core of who we are, and sometimes we see it in our actions. Jesus talked about it this way, and this is the last passage on the top of the right-hand side of your handout. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it's from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside a person and defile a person." Now, if I were to take this jug of water and sort of walk around and trip and spill it on someone, you could say, well, why has there been water spilt all over me? And I might say, well, it's because I tripped. Someone left a cord here and I tripped and spilled the water. And there's some truth to that, but it would also be true to say that, well, I tripped and spilled the water because the jug I was holding was full of water. It wouldn't have happened if the jug hadn't been full of water. And Jesus says when we do things that are shameful and wrong, it actually isn't the circumstances, it's actually the overflow of what's inside us. The idea that we are sinful, that we are all guilty, and that we've done things that it's right to feel ashamed about, it's not popular. It's not how we like to think in our culture, but even the best of us act in guilty and shameful ways. Whether or not you're a fan of the cricket, you can't deny that the Australian cricket team has a special place in the Australian psyche. And in an article in the New York Times a couple of days ago, they said it's commonly said in Australia that the captain of the national cricket team is the second most important job in the land. The role goes beyond sports. It bequeaths a certain moral authority too. In the last 30 years, three Australians have won the Australian of the Year. And yet, as we all know, the Australian cricket captain has been found guilty of cheating. And the shame that is being poured out onto him from around the world is palpable. Even the people we hold up as best among us, they have a problem deep down with who they are. We all have a problem with who we are. And when people sin, we reject God in his ways. We cut ourselves off from God as the source of life. And we show that deep down we are guilty and deserving of justice. We're like prisoners caught by our own sinful natures. We're like prisoners who are guilty and need to be set free. But Jesus says he came to die and deal with that problem of sin by dying as a ransom in our place. Well, that's part one of our talk. Why do some people care about Easter? Because at Easter, Jesus died shamefully as a criminal, but purposefully as a ransom for our sin. And I think there's at least two reasons why everyone should consider actually making a fuss about Easter. This is in part two, and they are truth and freedom. This will be a little bit shorter than the last part. Firstly, truth. Jesus really did die. And more than that, Jesus came back. People who follow Jesus say Jesus died and he came back to life physically. And so, you know, culturally, we think Easter is a bit of a weird time. You've got bunnies and chocolates and hot cross buns. It's weird, but the claim of the Bible is actually even weirder. It claims that Jesus came back to life. It's a claim that is so outlandish that Richard Dawkins, the public atheist, has dismissed it, saying, "So we come down to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's so petty, so trivial, so local, so earthbound, so unworthy of the universe." Now, Richard Dawkins has some good insights and he's an excellent communicator. But as someone who has a science degree, I find that attitude really frustrating. It's disappointing that someone who wants to push an evidence-based way of viewing the world dismisses a view without weighing the evidence, particularly if it's so foundational to his argument. I find it disappointing. And in today's talk, I don't really have the time to go through a whole lot of the historical evidence in favour of the claim that Jesus did rise from the dead, but I want to suggest to you that it is very compelling and it's easy to access. If you were interested in thinking about it or talking about it more, you might like to indicate that on your feedback form that was in your handout, or have a chat with the person who brought you. Everyone should consider making more of a fuss about Easter because it's true. It actually happened. But secondly, everyone should consider making more of a fuss about Easter because it brings freedom. Easter means you can be free from guilt and shame. What can you do when you've done something wrong, when you know you're guilty and you feel ashamed? One of the reasons that people who follow Jesus celebrate Easter is because we have been freed from guilt and shame. Jesus died as a ransom to deal with guilt and shame. All we need to do is trust and remember where we stand before God. Whatever wrong you have done, following Jesus means that you can be free from guilt and shame. And if you are a follower of Jesus and you've actually been feeling guilty and ashamed of something in your life, I want to encourage you. You know, Easter is a particularly good time of year to remember where you stand before God. To remember that God says, if you follow Jesus, you are forgiven. You are clean. You are free from shame. Why should everyone consider making more of a fuss about Easter? Because it's true and because it brings freedom. So, given what's at stake, given the weight of the evidence behind the claims, maybe it is worth taking the claims of Jesus a little more seriously this Easter. If you wanted to make more of a fuss about Easter, what could you do? Well, there's a couple of options depending on where you're at. Most of them could involve letting us know where you're at via the feedback forms as I go through, but I've got kind of three categories people might fit into. Yeah, you might still think that Easter's nothing special. It's not really worth making a fuss about, and that's fine. I'm glad you come along today, and I hope that you have a little bit of a clearer understanding about why some people value Easter and think it's worth making a fuss of. But I do hope today as well isn't just the end of that sort of thinking period for you. I hope it's the start of a discussion period so that with Christians who you know or work with, that you might engage with them a bit more. Find out about why they think following Jesus is worthwhile, about why they believe he died and rose again, or what it's cost them and why they keep doing it. If you wanted to have a talk about how following Jesus impacts the way that Christians live, you might like to actually have a bit of a guided discussion with them. City Bible Forum runs has some material called Life Groups, which help facilitate that kind of a discussion about what we believe and why about certain issues. That might be something you'd like to indicate an interest in trying. It might also be that you've heard the claims of Jesus and you've got specific questions. Maybe about how historically accurate it is, maybe about how can Jesus say we're all sinners, maybe about how I can be free from guilt or shame. If you've got questions and would like to consider things a bit further, at City Bible Forum, we've got several different options, ranging from just sitting down and having a cup of coffee to chat through to short courses to look at what Jesus claimed about himself. You might like to let us know that on your feedback form. But finally, you might have been thinking about who Jesus is and what he claims for a while, and actually be thinking, you know, actually, it's time to decide to follow him. I would like to follow him. And if that's you, it sounds cheesy, but it's as easy as A, B, C. Admit, believe, and commit. Admit that you're a sinner and that you can't save yourself, that you need someone to free you. Believe that Jesus died in your place and commit to following him. And if that is you, make sure you tell someone, whether it's letting someone from City Bible Forum know via the feedback form or chatting with us or talking to the person you came with. Let us know so we can help you think about, well, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, we're a bit closer to the long weekend than when I first started talking. I do hope that whatever you're doing over the long weekend, it is restful and relaxing and enjoyable. But I also hope you get to keep thinking about Easter and why it's worth making a fuss about. Because, as we've heard today, at Easter, Jesus followers celebrate because Jesus died as a ransom for our sin. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again. And we know that we are free from guilt and shame if we follow him.
Richard Dawkins really say that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was trivial?
Yeah, so that is a quote from John Lennox. So John Lennox is a professor of mathematics at Oxford University. So he's a Christian and he's been involved in a number of debates with Richard Dawkins. And so to be fair, that the context is that's John Lennox quoting Richard Dawkins from a debate that they had. But that's something that he said. This is something that Richard Dawkins said to me in the context of a debate. So, yes.
Whatever, live however it is I want to.
Yeah.
So I thought, I don't know, it can be kind of a tricky thing to kind of talk about freedom, but I'm kind of curious how you'd answer that question.
Yeah, so does that mean that I can do anything that I want to? I don't think it does. And I think it's where, I guess, one of our contemporary notions of freedom is a little bit different from the freedom that the Bible talks about. So we often think of freedom as being I can do whatever I want whenever I want, whereas I think the way the Bible paints freedom is we're free to actually live like we were made to. I guess it's the difference between saying, if I've built a kite, I can, you know, take it down to the beach and I could jump into the surf with it and play with it in the water. You know, I could do whatever I want with it, but that's not really what it was designed for. It was designed to, you know, throw up into the air and soar in the wind. So I think that's the difference in distinction between the way we use that freedom language. I think Christians, if we've recognized that actually sin is a problem and that God saw it as so serious that he sent his son to die in our place, I think that means we're actually going to say, well, I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm going to steer away from that life. Doesn't mean we get it perfectly, but we actually go, if sin is a big enough problem that the only way God could deal with it was to send Jesus to die in our place, then actually we shouldn't be sinning. Yeah, I think that's the guts of it. But we are free from the guilt and the shame that goes along with the wrongdoing that we've done. Sure. So I think the question, just in a nutshell, is why do we find sin so difficult to grasp in our society? It's a good question. I suspect a big part of it is because one of the big assumptions that the world we live in makes is we're fundamentally good, and occasionally circumstances make it otherwise. Fundamentally good, sometimes circumstances actually, you know, lead us to act in a bad way. It's just circumstantial. Whereas I think actually the Bible flips it on its head. That was that passage we looked at, what Jesus says, where I think what the Bible says is we're fundamentally bad. It's just circumstances stop us from being that bad all the time. And it's when we do wrong things, that's when the sin inside us, it sloshes out and over. I think that's a fundamental difference between how Western society generally sees people and how the Bible sees people. Yeah.
The recording that you have just listened to is from the City Bible Forum. For more information about City Bible Forum events in your city, or to order other talks, please visit citybibleforum.org.